and blind.
Hi. Before I started, I just wanted to thank my dad for the privilege of being able to teach the word, not only at this camp, but to be able to teach the word before a church that raised me is a really big honor and a privilege. And especially this section is very exciting. So I think with a lot of the camp, we've looked at what Christ has done for us, what Christ has accomplished. A lot of it has been pretty limited to his life, his death, his resurrection, what was accomplished in that. And we're going to move into a little bit more what he is to me now. So I have peace with God. We have peace with one another. I'm essentially set. I can come before God. He's accomplished that. But what now specifically, what is Christ to me now in this day, in the day-to-day, in my life, as I'm trusting God, as I'm endeavoring to live his word, where does Christ fit into that? Is kind of what we're going to start looking at now. You guys can turn to John 15. And as you're turning, I know with my section, and I think some of the sections we're going to be coming up on, it is really easy to look at it and focus on what my reaction to the word should be. And there's definitely sections, like in this section, it clearly says what I am to do. But the focus of this week and what I'm going to encourage you guys to do as we look at this is to keep the focus on Christ. And in your personal prayer life, and when you leave this camp, it's just and it's right for you to say, what is my reaction to this? Now that I know this, now that I've seen these things, where do I need to change in my life? Where am I not lining up with the word? But specifically as we're going through these teachings, Christ Jesus, that's the theme of this week. My reaction to Christ Jesus is not the theme of this week. It's looking at what his role should be and is, independent of what I do with my life, where he is now, assuredly forever, no matter what. So as we're going through this section, it was really hard for me to do that in preparing for this teaching to not go, and we should do this and this and this, but I encourage you, as I'm going to try to do, just to look at what he is, independent of me, independent of my actions, my believing, my choices, even if I've never believed him to be any of these things I learned this week, this is what he is assuredly. So we're going to start in verse 1 of John 15. And I'm sure you guys know the context of this a little bit. We just had a day in the Word last year, I think, over this section. Christ talking to the disciples before he was to be crucified. So it kind of puts it in a different light, knowing that. But we're just going to get started. And with a lot of these, if there's other questions you have and stuff that I don't explain, because I'm not going to explain some of it, I do encourage you to go through in your personal life outside of camp, go back through those teachings in John. If you don't have the set, I'm sure someone you know does. I'm sure your fellowship leader does. And more questions of the specifics of this section or in the context of it as a whole, it's a great resource. So I listened to it before preparing for this teaching as well. So verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is a husbandman. So right off the bat, what is Christ? What is God? It says Christ is the true vine and my Father is a husbandman, or the keeper, or the one that takes care of it. Does it say that God is the base of it and Christ is the vine and I am the branch? No, God is the one that keeps it. God is, but Christ is the vine. Christ is a source. Christ is what sustains it. But God is the keeper. God's the one that makes sure it's good and it's bearing fruit and it's doing what it's supposed to. But those are two very separate roles. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Are we going to be cut off from Christ's vine if we don't believe the word and don't do everything we're supposed to? No, we know that from the context of the entire New Testament and the words that have been given since then, especially, you know, what we learn about in Romans and Ephesians. We know that. We know that that's not true. That can't be true in the context of what God gave before this and after this. But if I am choosing to not abide in Christ as I'm supposed to, am I going to bear fruit? No. Can God make sure I am kept the way that I should be if I'm not choosing to be abide in the vine? No, he can't. He can't help me bear fruit if I'm not choosing to believe. He doesn't surpass freedom of will, and I think that's more what this is talking about. I'm cut off from God's fruit and blessing. I'm cut off from bearing fruit, but I'm not cut off from the body of Christ. Verse 3. And again, with that one, that's the best I can explain it. It doesn't quite click for you, I encourage you to look at it in your own time and go through that teaching about John. So verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How are we pruned? The verse when it says purgeth, that's kind of an intense word. but it just means clean. It means to keep it. Just like a gardener cleans and keeps their plants, that's what God does for this vine. He's the one that keeps it. Like, just like Tina does all, like, the, maintains all the landscaping and stuff like that. You still do that, right? Somewhat. No? Oh, someone comes and maintains all the landscaping around the study center. They make sure it's doing well. It's getting watered. It's not, the weeds aren't there, you know, and that's God's job in this. And that's all it means by purgeth. It's not, it's not as intense as the connotation with that word. and that happens through Christ's words. You know, that's how it's cleaned. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. We're going to read that one more time, because I think sometimes with sections like this where we know it very well, it's hard to sometimes see what God's working in it. So I'm going to read it one more time. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. The me is not God, it's Christ. He has a very pertinent role in our life now. And I think it's really easy to cloud God's role and Christ's role in my life. I pray to God. I have a relationship with God. It's more, and it's not visible, but it's easier to see. But Christ has a specific role in my life in the day-to-day now as well. I cannot bear fruit without him. It doesn't say I can't bear fruit without the husbandman, which would be true. If God were involved in it, I wouldn't be able to. But this section specifically, I cannot bear fruit if I am not abiding in the vine. It is not possible for my life to be fruitful unto God if I am not abiding in Christ. That is a really important role in my life now. And in preparation for this camp, and in this section specifically, I asked God, you know, what is Christ's role in my life right now? And I looked at my prayer life and what do I thank God for, specifically with Christ, when I'm praying and I'm thanking God for what Christ has done for me, what do I say? And I think a prayer life can be a huge indicator of what's going on in your heart. And even with me personally, and I don't know about you guys, I would say like 95% of the things that I thank God for specifically relating to Christ are things that were done with his resurrection. And that's an indicator of I'm not grasping what Christ is to be in my life now if I'm not every day thankful for who he is to me now, as well as the things he's done. I mean, all the things we've already covered are amazing, and they are things that I should be thankful for, and I should thank God every day for that I can come before him. But his role is bigger than just a bridge between me and God. And it's just, you can see the heart of Christ in this section too, of... he's giving his last words to start a church, essentially, to start everything past him on this world. And these are the things that he's choosing to talk about, you know. And you just see his love and exhortation in this and his passion in this, you know, like, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. It comes up so many more times. He's essential. If there's any fruit in my life, it has to be through him. There is not another option. He is a source. He is the supply of it. Abide does not mean have. It does not mean I have Christ as my Savior. That's already taken care of. I already know that. Abide means to exist, to live in, the midst of, to dwell in. It's bigger than just he is my Savior, which is a huge thing to say in and of itself, but it should be more than that in my life, you know? Verse 5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, or bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, the same point again, you need me. I am the source. You are the branches. You have to abide in me. You know, he's talking to these disciples that he's going to leave, and he's setting up the groundwork for a church. And these are the words that he's speaking. You know, this church will not be successful if it is not done in me. Your lives will not be successful. Your fruit will not be successful. No matter what the heart you have for God, I need to be a part of that. You know, I need to be the source of that. But if you do, you'll bring forth much fruit. but without me, you can do nothing. Nothing of profit and merit to God can be done outside Christ. That's a big statement. And I think that we say things like that a lot. And we say the phrase in Christ a lot, and in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. But like, there's more to that. You know, it's not just that I have all these things in Christ. It's that I am the person I am. I can do anything now. Through Christ and in Christ. And that's the way that it's done. If I do anything that's profitable in this church, if I stand up on a Sunday and speak in tongues and interpret, and it is a beautiful message of God. That is done in Christ, and there is an acknowledgement there. There is a role. And let's keep going. verse 6. This is one that I'm going to tell you. It's one of those things that makes sense in my head, and if I struggle to explain it again, I encourage you to go to that day in the Word. It lays it out well. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I think this translation is a little bit frightening if you read it just for what it says. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it in the NIV, and I'm going to emphasize one word, and we're going to move on from it. Because it's, again, this is teaching on Christ, not on my reaction or my consequences. So in the NIV, verse 6 says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. It's not saying I'm going to be thrown into the fire and burned. It's saying you are like these branches. Like if we were to go out on a tree and pluck off all the dead branches, what would we do with them? Throw them into the fire and make a fire tonight. You are like those branches. It's not saying you are going to get burned. It's not saying that is your end result. It's saying you have the fruit of the branches, that's their end result, you know? So hopefully that made sense. That's the best way I can explain it. But, I mean, is that what I want my life to be, you know? After looking at all these things that we've looked at this week so far, and, I mean, in our lives so far, seeing God's mercy and grace and care and provision for our lives, you know, I don't want to be that branch. And the only way to not do that is through Christ, you know? The only way to do that is to acknowledge who my vine is to get my sustenance and my source from Christ in the day-to-day, not just in the past tense, you know, in every day as I'm believing, as I'm praying, as I'm operating my ministry, as I'm operating my manifestations, it is done in Christ. Anything of fruit is done in Christ, in the vine, abiding in the vine. So I don't want to be a meaningless branch to God, you know, I don't want to have that profit in my life. And he very clearly lays out how to not do that. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If we maintain these things, our lives are going to be easier. I think so much with Christ, like I said, it's sometimes it's easier to have a thankfulness and a love for God and see his role in your life because you pray to him every day, you talk to him every day. And in looking at this with Christ, I think sometimes there's a distance there. I'm thankful in a way that's not personal. And that's not the way that God set it up to be. I think sometimes we can look at it and see Christ as like, so me, I live in the United States. My dad's side of the family is from Ireland. I had, I think, a great grandfather that came over. And I'm here because of him. And I'm thankful for the work that he did to make my family where we are now. I'm thankful that he brought us over here and got us out of a not so good time over there. I'm thankful and I see that and I see that my life is here because of the actions of him, but I don't have any personal love for him. I don't have a personal connection. I can look at the fruit of his actions and his work and his labors, but it's missing a component there. I don't know him. I've never met him. He doesn't play an active role in my life now. It doesn't lessen the thankfulness I have for the actions and what he did with his life, but there's not a personal connection there, and that's not the way it should be with Christ. There should be a bigger component than just what he has already accomplished. And again, not lessening what he's already accomplished, not lessening God's role in my life, but let's read verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So this is how God is glorified, which it says in earlier verses, it hints at it, but this is how he is glorified, by you bearing much fruit and being my disciples. Let's turn to Acts real quick. So if we want God to be glorified in our lives, if we want God to be glorified in this church, that's how it's done. It's through holding Christ up as the vine, holding him up as the position that he is in. And it's kind of cool. I mean, this section in Acts, I kind of see this as the first start of what Christ was talking about in John. You know, this is his disciples first taking into... putting into practice what the things that he urged them to do for those chapters, you know, and I mean for his whole life, but specifically those chapters. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Skip to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom he has crucified, both Lord and Christ. So this role, as we're working out what this means in my life practically, what role does God have and Christ have in my life practically? First and foremost, I have to acknowledge that this is a role that God has put him in. Christ is put as my Lord, as my vine, as my head, because God wanted it to be that way. God is Christ's source. But that position isn't something he put upon himself. Isn't something that he was forced into. It's something that God designed to be that way. Let's go to Ephesians. Oh, sorry for clicking in the microphone. I just realized that's okay. That's my thinking noise, so. In so many ways, Ephesians really does parallel the reference of the vine, and I'm not sure how much Christ is aware of. Like, I'm not sure if Christ knew what the body was going to be fully. I don't know. The word doesn't say if he fully knew everything that was going to happen with, you know, the body of Christ and what it was going to be in all, and how it's laid out in Ephesians and all these books that we have. I don't know if he knew it, but I know you can look at the vine as a section, look at it with the body of Christ and know that God showed him something about it, you know? And how exciting for him to be able to share that to his disciples before leaving, you know, share a little bit of what it's going to be like. So in a lot of ways, the vine is a very similar reference to the head. So we are going to start in Ephesians 4, verse 4, which is kind of funny because my dad left off in verse 3, which is pretty perfect. So there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every each one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Christ has a sweeping role as Lord of what we are now. But like it says in verse 7, he is also, but unto each of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Under each of us is given a ministry, personally in the body, and he's the director and operator of that as well. Let's skip to verse 7, and just for clarity's sake, I'm going to read it in the NIV. Give me a second to pull it up. I just think it is going to, time-wise, be a little bit easier than explaining a lot of it. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I did it again. I'm sorry. Oh, goodness. Okay. Verse 11. I just keep looking up and seeing Ray's smiling face like, oh no. So verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Christ himself gave it. Christ is the operator. It's the head. And once again, if I, whether I'm believing this or not, if I am a, let's say I am a finger in the body of Christ, if I am broken, or a toe, we'll say it's a broken toe in the body of Christ, does that affect the head? Does that affect where, anything up here? No. Does that affect its position? Does that affect its operation? No. No matter what, that is Christ's role. Let's keep going. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then will we no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Sometimes it still feels like what my life is, doesn't it? A little bit, you know? But God gives such a clear solution through Christ, you know? Am I acknowledging Christ as my head? Am I acknowledging my role part of acknowledging my role in the body of Christ is acknowledging who put me there, who gave me this ministry, who is the head of these ministries that we're operating. Are you tired of being an infant or being tossed around or having these things be true of your life? Then I'm not fully seeing Christ's role in my life, you know? I'm not fully holding him to the role that God has placed him in. It clearly says that that's the solution to that, you know, that the body of Christ and believing this is a solution to it. Matureness comes through Christ. Growth comes through Christ. Fruit comes through Christ. Humility comes through Christ. Everything I need for a profitable life and a life where I don't feel like I'm being blown about and taken by this world is seen through Christ, you know? Again, he's not just a bridge to God. He's not just a way to get to God. He has a role in my life. And that is such a significant thing, to have a way to get to God. That is beautiful. I'm so glad for the sacrifice of that. But his life is more than that now. He wasn't just resurrected to sit by God and wait. He is the head of this body now. He is the head of everything we're doing this week for God now and for our lives for God now. That is his role. And it is right that I hold him to that. It's something that God has placed, and it's not limiting God by holding him up to that. You know, it's not bringing down God's role in my life by realizing that Christ is what's making this body what it is. Christ is what's operating, and God put it together. God is definitely the one that put it together, but Christ is now the head of it. And I should see him as that, and my life should line up according to that. Let's keep going. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in... Oh, nope. Wrong translation. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. I mean, like, that's what we want. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. He is the head of this. I know I've said that 1,000 times, but I'm going to keep saying it. He is the head of this. God is the creator and the former, and Christ is the operator. He's the head. He's who we draw direction from. And that distinction has to be made, because that's the role that God has placed him in. So in looking at this, I just kind of, this wasn't like an extensive word study or anything like that, but I just wanted to look at how many times the phrase in Christ is used. And a lot of it is used past tense. Like we have things in Christ. We have salvation in Christ, things like that, where it is past tense. But some of it is, you look at these believers that we read about in the New Testament, and so many of the things that they do, they do them in Christ. It said that they do it in Christ. So it's in Christ is used 77 times. And like I said, a lot of them are just things that are accomplished in Christ, things that we now have in Christ. But again, this is, I didn't look up in him or through Christ or through him. So I'm sure it would be a lot more with that, but just some of the things that are mentioned. Someone is called a helper in Christ. Someone is called an instructor in Christ. They say that their love is in Christ. Their triumph is in Christ. And it doesn't mean a past tense triumph. It's like a current now triumph is in Christ. That they speak in Christ. That they pray in Christ. That their faithfulness in their day-to-day life is in Christ. Their rejoicing is in Christ. Their consolation is in Christ. They salute each other in Christ. They are presented perfect in Christ. And I think sometimes it's one of those phrases that's really easy, because it does occur 77 times in the New Testament. It's easy to just read as in Christ, in Christ. But even when it's not the point of the section, that it's mentioned that frequently with these believers who started the church that we now see the fruits of. Everything they did, it was in Christ, you know, and any profit they had, because it was profitable, and it was something that you can clearly see the fruit of it. And even when Paul's talking about it, he says in Christ so much, because everything that we do in this body and for God is in Christ. So that's another thing in your free time. If you want to look at that, I think it'll be pretty humbling of how many things do I do where I just pray, you know, and I'm just speaking in tongues, and, you know, I'm just healing. I'm just teaching. I'm just doing whatever, that I'm doing in this body or in this fellowship. But, it's all to be done in Christ. It's all done through the head, through the vine, through the source, through the supply. And like I said before, we can trust Christ with it because the source is God, you know? God is the one that established this. In looking to Christ for direction, I'm trusting God. That's how I trust God, is looking to my head. That's how God wants it to be. And it is, I mean, I'm repeating myself a lot with this, but like Christ is so much bigger than what happened when he was seated at the right hand of God. His operation and his role, it doesn't stop. It's not put on hiatus until he returns, you know? He has a just and proper role in my life now. My actions, and even bigger, my actions don't change that role. Whether I want to acknowledge him as my vine or as my head, or that doesn't change who he is. He is that. It changes. I'll change. I might be not the best limb or branch, and I might be one that appears as if one that should be thrown in a fire. Maybe that is the case. Maybe that's the case for my life right now. But God gives such a clear solution of how to change that, and it's just putting Christ in the role that God has placed him in. sorry, I did it again. You guys can turn to John again, 15. And we're going to close here, so it's not that long of a teaching today, but we're going to read through it again, and yeah, that's what we're going to do. And again, I encourage you to look at it through Christ and not yourself. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That in itself is awesome. We didn't focus on that very much, but that's great. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Another part of that verse that we didn't talk, abide in me and I in you. This is not a one way. It's not just me blindly following Christ. Christ also gives something to me in that. You know, he is my head. It's not just me acknowledging him as that. He deserves that role, and he is a good head and a good vine. So it's two ways, you know. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And I love the way this ends. We're going to end it the same way that Christ did. Because you see the heart of the vine, you know, the heart of this man that I am trusting to guide me and be my source and supply. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Stop and think about that statement for a second. As the Father loved Christ, that's the biggest love I think that any of us that's ever existed. In the same way the Father has loved me, that's how I love you. And I want you to continue in that love. That's a big expectation. But I have a Christ who loves me in the same way that God loved him. That's the heart behind, and I think it just shows the heart behind Christ sharing it in this time too, you know? When someone's on their deathbed about to die, are they bringing up like, oh, make sure you switch the laundry and take the dog out? No, you're talking about the things that are the most important for the entirety of your life, the things that are the biggest. And this is that section, you know, this is essentially him on his deathbed. And he's talking about what is most important. I think so many things that we get caught up in day to day or feel guilty about day to day are sin. You know, I don't heal as much as I should. I don't speak in tongues as much as I should. I don't do all these things as much as I should or in the way that I should. But you know, this is Christ talking about the most important things before he dies. And this is what he sees, you know, and the rest of that'll follow. But this is how I live a life that is fruitful to God. And the rest comes with it. And this is also written at a time where they didn't have Ephesians or Romans or all these things. This is the direction they had for living their life and like the Old Testament and Christ's life. And that was about it. they don't have the privilege of having Ephesians, where it lays it out so clearly. But his heart behind it, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. His sacrifice took care of so many things, and like my dad mentioned earlier, part of that is peace with one another, that we can have this love is amazing. That I can love to the standard that God loves Christ. That's crazy. But I can't do anything without Christ. It's in Christ. It's through Christ. It's through the vine that I can attain unto that with you guys in the body. And verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You want to know how to do this? It just says it, keep my commandments and dwell in, live in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, to the same standard that Christ kept his Father's commandments and was abiding in his love. That's a huge standard, but that's how I attain these things. That's how I am a fruitful branch. In verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might... I just love this verse. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That's how the chapter goes on, but that's how he ends like this specific section. I want this for you, not because I need bodies or we need to get everyone born again, which, yeah, those are things that we're called to do. We're called to speak the word. We're called to do these things. But his heart behind sharing this with his disciples is, I want you to have joy, and that you can have a full life. Are we lacking joy? Are we lacking a full life sometimes in our brains? I mean, obviously we're never lacking a full life and what Christ has brought us to. But look at these things. Am I needing those in my life? Then I'm probably not acknowledging Christ and putting him in the position that he should be. He shared these truths that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And that is a vine and a head that is easy to follow. It's not this dictator or this person who, I think sometimes it's hard to realize my criticism of myself is not God and Christ's criticism. Sin is sin and it's evil and it's wrong and it's bad and it has terrible consequences for my life. But the heart of my Savior for my life is that his joy will remain in you and that our joy will be full and that we will be, we will glorify his Father, And that's why this is set up, and that is his role. And again, as we go on with the week and look more into things that what Christ is for us now, I just encourage you to keep that table your judgment on yourself a little bit until after camp. Stop and take time and realize, okay, this is where Christ should be. And it might just be should, and it might not be a realization in my life, and it might not be for a long time. I don't know if I'll ever fully realize what it means to have Christ as a vine in my life, but I can start to. But it's not going to come through me just being super critical of my life. I don't need to be critical of my life. I need to stand in joy and in awe of Christ's life and where God has put him and start to acknowledge that a little bit, but just for the rest of the week, look at Christ and his role is what I encourage you guys to do. And as we do that, we'll learn more what it means in a practical sense and more how to have that joy and for that joy to be full. And that will be the fruit of it as we do it. But this week's just about learning where he's supposed to be. And that's John 15. So I encourage you guys to read it more. And if you do have questions, I would look at that teaching on it. But that's all I wanted to get into with you guys.